When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earle, I, Luke Cutforth, and our special guest, Hannah Witten, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at educating Josh. Hannah, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming back. Are you excited to educate Josh again?
I am. Thanks for having me again.
How do you feel you did last time?
I think it was okay. I don't know.
All right, well, I've heard so much great things about how you performed, and I'm ready to see you in action. But before we get into that,
it's a good episode.
Last week, we had Dottie as a guest on the podcast. Could you please, Hannah, read Dottie's poll results from her story last week?
Sure. So the question was, is porn equally as dangerous and damaging to society as smoking cigarettes and reckless driving? And 15% said yes, 79% said no. And the other was 6%.
All right, well, last week I was very adamant that I thought porn was a very dangerous thing. So it looks like I did a terrible job at putting forward my argument there. You guys all said no, so well done. How do you feel about that one?
Oh, I would have been a no. Yeah, like, smoking and reckless driving can kill you and, like, other people, and porn, like... Can it do that? No.
Josh is looking at me very smugly.
Maybe in an extreme case, yes.
Indirectly.
And then there's a tweet from Walwyn who said, no one's physically dying from watching porn. Exactly.
Exactly.
The fact that you can actually argue the benefits of porn, I have a whole video on the benefits of porn, actually, plug, shows you that it's incomparable to reckless driving, which no one would ever advocate for.
Actually, I'm a strong advocate for reckless driving. No, I'm not. No. Okay. So last week my story was second, and it was that. Is it okay that parliamentary privilege allows lords and MPs to say what they want in parliament? Now, we had fairly divided audience. We had 59% yes and 37% no, with 6% on other. How do you guys feel about that?
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's quite a hard one, because I'd say, like, a big chunk of our audience is very left, and it's very easy to make an instant lunge towards no on that. And so to say yes is quite... I think that's very well informed, and they're thinking about what happens in Parliament. And I'm stand with Lucy on that. I'm really impressed with that result.
Well, I had a great comment on Twitter from Paulina, who basically summed up the entire reason this show exists, which was, politics are confusing, and I barely understand them here in Germany where I live, let alone understanding how the system in the UK works. What are the lords anyway? What is their job? I have no idea, and definitely need some more education in that area. So hopefully we can revisit the issue of the lords.
I feel really bad that Paulina's education now depends on us. That's like
an awful lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure, Paulina.
I say good on her for being so honest.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so Lucy, your story was last week. How did yours perform in the polls?
So I asked if we should stop turning our clocks for daylight saving time. 33% said yes, 65% said no, and 2% said other. What do they want?
Read the comments, Lucy.
Well, Georgia on Twitter said, extra sunlight in the autumn winter is really beneficial to those of us who suffer with seasonal affective disorder. The dark mornings and afternoons/evenings have a huge effect on my mood, so I'll take any extra light I can get. It would be awful if it was dark until mid-morning.
That's really interesting, because that's something we didn't... I'm somebody who I think I have experienced seasonal affective disorder, and we basically focused on the industry things and didn't really think about mental health in any way. So I'm really glad Georgia brought that up.
Yeah, still no though, sorry.
Well, you're pro daylight saving.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't really for or against it. I just think it functions a certain way right now. I think it's silly that it was introduced, but it makes sense, and the systems work the way they do now, and
I should listen to that tackle. Episode because I'm just like, it's a thing that happens. I've no idea why.
That's what we said. That's, yeah. That was kind of how we ended up, was just like, it happens, doesn't really bother anyone.
Okay, well, let's get on with some education. It is time for the first story of the week, and that is my story. Okay, so Josh, my story this week comes from the BBC, and it is that Trump vows to end birthright citizenship. Here are the three things you need to know. Curbing illegal immigration was one of the main campaign promises Mr. Trump made when he ran for president. The issue remains high on his agenda, and in a recent interview, Mr. Trump made one of his most hardline immigration pledges yet, vowing to end the automatic right to citizenship for children born in the US to non-citizens. Currently, all the children born in the US get citizenship under the Constitution. Quote, we're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby essentially is a citizen of the United States, he said. It's ridiculous, and it has to end. Birthright citizenship, which is enshrined in the 14th Amendment of the US Constitution and therefore likely to require more than a presidential order to revoke, is not, in fact, unique to the United States. But the US is in a small club of around 30 nations that offer it, including Canada and Brazil, but not the United Kingdom. My question for you, Josh, is, should birthright citizenship be stopped? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I don't think it does. I don't really agree with citizenship. I'm kind of a citizen of the world, so I have a bigger problem than that with this question, I suppose.
Thanks for not answering the question. That gives me a lot of work to do.
No, it doesn't. I said no.
So it shouldn't be stopped?
No.
Okay,
it should be made easier.
So you believe that everybody should be able to travel anywhere at any time?
Absolutely.
Okay. Pop a baby out. Citizenship.
Pop a baby out of citizenship of the world.
Yes.
Interesting, because that to me would seem to go against what I would think of you, whether rightly or wrongly, which is that you saw, in my estimation of you, you've been quite against sort of the idea of one world government and one body governing the entire world.
Yes, absolutely. That shouldn't affect movement.
Would that not require one world government, essentially, or
Why?
Some form of
no,
one
not
world
at
government?
All.
Well, because if you want to be a citizen of the world, you have to all agree that anyone can move anywhere, mm-hmm. which essentially...
Then you just agree to live by those laws.
Right, but it essentially extends to creating global laws that exist everywhere.
No, doesn't need to.
The reason why we're talking about this is because it's something that Donald Trump has said. Mm. And I think the whole idea of like birthright citizenship on a global scale, I'm not 100% sure about. I don't really understand too much about the pros and cons of it. Like we don't have it in the UK, but we've got like a different version of it, and like a very small group of countries actually do have birthright citizenship. But I think the thing that we're missing is that whatever all of those reasons are for and against it, I don't think Trump cares. I think the reason why he wants to get rid of it is because he's anti-immigration, because he hates immigrants. And that's another angle of this that we haven't really talked about.
Definitely. And I think he's using really antagonistic language. If he had said, we must modify birthright citizenship, no one would be up in arms. But he's talking about ending it, but I don't think that's what he's intending to do.
No, and it's also very funny timing with the midterms, and he wants to win back that following and that support that is what won him the presidency. And statements and stories like this are winning back the kind of votes that he needs to retain control in America. So I do think the reason this has been brought up is he's thinking, okay, in what way can I be controversial about immigration right now to win those people back? Which I think is kind of what you were saying. He doesn't care about this. Hannah's completely right. I don't think he cares about where someone's born, I think, but he does care about immigration. He does care about retaining control. So I do think it is funny timing.
Do you think there's nothing in the idea that I'm not a Trump supporter, and I'm also not and I'm also not anti-immigration, but I do understand.
I think there's some amazing things that Donald Trump's
sure,
done.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. There are great things that all, and there's terrible things that all
Wait,
leaders
what?
Have done.
Let's not go there.
But what I mean is that there are good and bad in every leader. There's good and bad, and I think
there's a lot of bad in Donald Trump.
Absolutely, yes. We will clarify that. Yeah. But I think that what you said, Hannah, there is a little bit oversimplified. The issue, which is what you've essentially said, is he hates immigrants, which is, I think, potentially problematic in that you're basically labeling her racist. Maybe he is a racist.
I'm totally fine with labeling Donald Trump a racist.
But that disregards any logic that has got him to the place that he believes in. And if you oversimplify in that way, you get an oversimplified response on the other side, which is just, well, we'll just keep all of them out. And so I think you have to understand the logic behind it, which is that Do you think there's no merit in the idea of, rather than going to another country, stay in the country you're in and build that country up? I'm not saying that I think they should do that. I'm just saying, do you think there's no merit in that idea?
I'm really confused by what idea. Because but we don't have birthright citizenship in the UK, and I'm fine with that. Like, that's why I'm saying that I don't actually think it's about this issue. I think it's just about Donald Trump peddling his anti-immigration agenda.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump in there. And I don't think that is what Hannah's trying to say, is that he's a racist. I think you were saying two things. One, that yes, this is something that he can peddle right now that is part of immigration, which is something he cares very dearly about.
Oh yeah.
And it's the one thing that he hasn't let go at all. You know, you'll notice that the wall's been non-existent currently, and a lot of the very controversial things he was saying haven't happened. They won him the votes he needed, but they haven't happened. Whereas his immigration policies, he's stuck very strong to, and he's been very controversial about them. So I think that is a part of it. And I do think that he is I don't think he's arguing it for the case that you're saying. Because, for example, what is your argument? You're saying it's oversimplifying it, but where is his logic coming from? What's he saying? What's the pro case for that baby not being a part of the United... being part of the United States? What's the detriment to the country?
He's not saying... I mean, what the detriment to the country is that from sort of his logical viewpoint, is that if you allow unlimited immigration, then there are more workers and there's only a certain amount of jobs, so the number of jobs stays the same, but the number of people goes up, and so wages go down, and so the people who are in the country... therefore,
yeah,
feel
I think
that
that's the argument
behind.
That every fascist in the world has used.
But I'm saying that is a logical thing that makes sense. It's not just racism,
but I don't think it is a logical case point in this, whereby you're automatically applying a bunch of factors to that. One, that I mean, how do you know this child's parents haven't been there on a working visa for 20 years, are scientists in the community, and this child then has to go through a process where they've been at school for 10 years, but they aren't automatically granted citizenship? I don't think this is a good thing.
But if they do it like they do in the UK, then they probably would if their parents had been there for a long time.
And you think America... and you think Trump's the person to advocate that and fight for those rights?
By the way, I'm very aware that I'll probably come across as sounding very problematic at the end of this, because I'm not necessarily agreeing with this stuff.
It's just interesting. See what that logical argument is that you're saying.
If you are somebody who... Because Trump has said very pointedly, whether it's been reported in the press, he said very pointedly that he's not anti-immigration. He's anti-illegal immigration. He's anti-people...
Jargon and rhetoric.
Well, I don't think it necessarily is. Because, for example, what this birthright issue is preventing, or is trying to prevent, is what's called birth tourism. And one thing... Well, this is a really interesting anti-Trump thing, it turns out, in that it says... Russian birth tourism to Florida to maternity hotels in 2010 was documented. Birth tourism packages complete with lodging and medical care delivered in Russia begin at £20,000 and go as high as £84,000 for an apartment in Miami's Trump Tower. So Donald Trump has been making profit off of birth tourism. But that's what I find interesting about this, is it is more complex than just someone
but
being...
But what's wrong
really
with that? That person's obviously got money. What's wrong with buying your citizenship into a country? You're talking about
well, what's wrong
earning
with it is
the
that
right.
Poor people can't do it, and so it's unfair.
I mean, that's throwing your toys out the pram, really. There's a lot of things that rich people can't do
and
poor people can't.
I'm not poor, and I'm also not... I'm just not throwing my toys out. I'm talking about other people.
Yes, no, but just because it's only selected to a few doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. And it's like you said, you earn your right, and if you have worked hard enough in your life to have money, just because other people don't doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to have things.
Absolutely.
Some people with money haven't worked hard for it.
Yeah, I mean, some people haven't, but that doesn't mean the people that have should be... deserve anything less.
Well, on the whole, I do. Ironically, I do actually believe you. I've just been doing a lot of research. And
no,
very interesting.
But it is really fascinating, and I didn't realise that people on holiday could gain an American citizenship like that. I mean, that's amazing.
But it's just if you're born there. Like a friend of mine, like he was born in the US, and so he technically could have American citizenship
if he wanted to.
He could get a passport. But also,
what's wrong with that?
Another really funny thing is that the criteria to become president of the US, one of the things is you have to be born in the USA. So you could have parents who aren't from the USA, came to the US. You were born there, and then you like left and went back to wherever your parents are from, and then you lived there your whole life.
And you could be president.
And then, because you have to then live in the US for 14 years or something like that. So then you could like go back when you're like 40, live there until you're 54 and then run for president.
That's really cool.
Quick maths, guys.
I don't know if that entirely checks out, but...
Yeah.
All right, well, Josh, well, we're going to have to wrap on this story, but at the start of this story, you said this.
I don't think it does. I don't really agree with citizenship. I'm kind of a citizen of the world, so I have a bigger problem than that with this question, I suppose.
How do you feel about that?
I'm a bit of a hippie, aren't I, really?
I was literally about to say earlier when you first said that, like, you sound like a douchebag.
You absolute douche. I think, one, I think I hate myself after listening back to that. I think, going back to the question, let's go serious, guys. I think I still agree with myself. I don't think it should be stopped. I think they're using it in a different way than it was meant to be, and I don't think Trump's the person to advocate that. I think he'd do it very badly.
All right, so you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That's Lucy's story.
My headline comes from The Guardian. Sports minister resigns over delay to gambling curb. Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh.
Yes.
Sports Minister Tracy Crouch has resigned after the government delayed plans to further regulate fixed odd betting terminals like slot machines. Her plan was to reduce the maximum bet from £100 to £2. The delay, which will allow betting shops to collect an extra £900 million from the machines, sparked outcry amongst campaigners and MPs. Gambling with Lives Group wrote that the machines were an instrumental factor in our children's deaths, and that the delay will cause tens of thousands more young people to become addicted and dozens of gambling-related suicides. So, my question for you, Josh, is, should the government be doing more to control gambling?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I don't think they should. I think gambling's already set at 18. And I think that when you're 18, you should really be aware of the risks of things. Maybe they should do more to educate. But I don't think they should be doing more to control it.
You know what, Josh? I'm really annoyed because most of my research was down the line of no, and now I'm going to have to put a little bit of my tiny research on yes and
what,
stretch that out.
What, you were thinking no as well?
I was thinking basically... No, I was thinking that Josh would say yes and that I would have to convince him no.
He doesn't believe in a nanny state.
Damn it. Well, it was just the more interesting one to research.
I think you're wrong, but I could have predicted your answer to that.
I think it was a very easy answer to predict.
So, Hannah, you think he's wrong? Lead with that, please.
Oh, God. Well, I'm not the one that's done research on this. I just think that the effects of gambling, like a gambling addiction, are horrendous.
Absolutely.
And I think Josh is right in that definitely more education is needed. That isn't happening right now. I don't remember ever being taught
about gambling
or anything like that. Are we allowed to name brands?
Mm-hmm.
Or, no.
As long as it's not labelless, yeah.
One of my favourite things is that the betting agency Lads Broke is literally, it's what it says on the tin. It's like, lads are broke. like it's, why does anyone ever bet with them when it's just like, this is what's going to happen to you?
there's a side of betting that's really fun. I think, you know, when you're watching a football game, you put £2 on it, it does make it a little bit more interesting when you're down the
board. And I've been to Vegas and I love blackjack.
Yes, blackjack is a lot of fun.
But I do think that there needs to be something, and I think that this law sounds good. It's a shame that it's been delayed.
So I think, to be honest, I do agree with the law. I'm kind of confusing myself. Like, so going back on it, what you're saying is at the moment you can bet £100 on like a slot machine.
Yes.
And you're reducing it down to two.
In the long run, nobody wins apart from the companies on that one, because they're fixed odds.
Well, yes, they're fixed odds, which means there's a definite amount that will go back to the gambling company every time. And so I think that's where the issue comes, because we see gambling as like, oh, maybe I'll win, maybe the government will win, maybe the company will win, right? And there's an element of chance. But in this, while there is an element of chance per game, there is literally zero chance that the company will lose out because it's fixed odds.
Yeah, but I do think that you wouldn't be able to do that for everything. Like, casinos aren't going to turn around and place their maximum bet at £100. So you're talking about these machines.
No, but this is about the machines.
But I do think that a lot more needs to change than just the fixed odd betting terminals. I have got such strong opinions about gambling.
Do share.
Because the companies are absolutely awful. Someone very close to me got fairly addicted to gambling, and it was a huge issue. And it was the emails. So you'd sign up for all of these set amounts, like free bets from all these different online companies, and then they'd send you more, and then if you stopped gambling for a while they'd send you more. If you made big losses, then they'd send you more.
Oh, but that's the same with everything.
No, it was disgusting. And then to cancel their account, they had to actually manually write an email or something. You couldn't just cancel your account, and the account stayed live. Honestly, it's so, so dark.
That's
got
to have like complications of GDPR now, surely.
Yeah,
like,
and, but they also,
that might have been just before GDPR.
And also, I guess, yeah, but again, going back to Hannah's nanny state, like, your friend decided to place bets. Your friend is a very capable person, I assume. Are they...
You know how addiction works. Capable people get addicted to things all of the time.
Okay, food's addictive. Are you going to ban it?
This is very different. We need food to live. We don't need gambling to live.
But we also have the right to do something that you enjoy, and one person...
By that argument, Hannah, alcohol's addictive. Are you going to ban that? Paracetamol is addictive. Are you going to ban that?
No, it's just going to be controlled, so it's not as easy for everyone to access.
Sure. And it is controlled. It's 18. You have to be 18 to gamble.
Over this threshold of 18... It's a free-for-all. It shouldn't be like that. There are 400,000 people in the UK with serious problematic gambling addictions. Mm-hmm. 2 million people are at risk of becoming addicted. Think of the link to suicide. Think of the link to mental health. This is such a big issue. People are destroying their lives.
Yeah. And it doesn't just affect the people who are addicted. It affects their families and their friends, because they end up lying and stealing money in order to feed that addiction.
Then the deeper you get, the more you feel like you need to gamble more.
Yes. Okay. So... I fully understand.
And there are companies profiting from this.
Sure, sure. Well, I don't think Josh doesn't understand that.
Yes, I do completely understand that.
I think the issue here is a much deeper issue, is that the real moral issue we are having here is what Lucy said. Was Lucy said, these companies are awful. Well, companies don't exist to be morally right.
So, they're not.
Companies exist to make money, and they find ways to exploit people to make money. So the issue you have is with capitalism.
Because, I always have an issue.
So that's the issue you have, and you can't expect, maybe you want to expect, and it would be nice if companies acted morally, but there's no law in place to do that. And so I agree. I would never exploit somebody like this.
Just because we've been dealt a shit sandwich of like some of the things that capitalism has done, such as companies wanting to profit off the awful like misfortune of lots of people. Mm-hmm. But just because that is just something that happens with capitalism, that doesn't mean that we have to deal with that, and doesn't mean that there aren't things that we can do to regulate and to make it better for people.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be banned. I'm not talking about banning gambling.
We already do a hell of a lot to regulate and control gambling.
No, seeing it firsthand, not enough is done. Gambling is absolutely fine.
Like, what would you do more?
Control how much they can contact people. If somebody is obviously a problematic gambler, contact needs to stop. How do they do that? You can tell when someone is.
That's absolutely ridiculous. A company is there. They've set up a system.
Algorithms can tell like who you are, where you're from, and everything now, they can definitely tell. Because the problematic ones, they advertise to them more.
And they can do that. They do the same thing online that they do in casinos. Do you know about like the psychology of casinos? So there's no natural light. There's no windows. So you have no idea what time it is. There's no clocks in casinos. And they have got cameras on you constantly. So as soon as they see that you're losing, they monitor you and they start to monitor your behaviors of like when you'd stop betting. And as soon as it looks like you've maybe made a few losses and you're about to get up and go, someone will come over to you and offer you a free drink.
Yeah. But is that not the same thing online? Tesco's put their more expensive brands where they make a bigger profit directly in the middle shelf in your eye line. The cheaper brands are on the bottom and are harder to reach because you physically have to bend over.
Yeah, dealing with addicts.
Exactly.
But it's the same thing. You're talking about the way that we market things to people. Yeah, it's tricksy and it does work. But why, if your business is gambling, you can employ the same tactics.
It's an ethical responsibility to avoid addiction developing and also becoming more and more problematic.
I completely, because it's quite funny, because I wouldn't be opposed to gambling not existing, for example. You know, there's a lot of countries where gambling is just completely banned. It's not allowed.
No, that would have huge impacts. We get so much taxation from it, and gambling is a good form of entertainment if it's done in a controlled way.
Yeah, but I don't... I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I don't like... It's I don't understand what you're saying here.
I understand your point. I think what you're trying to get to, Josh, is that you should, if you're so against gambling shouldn't exist. You shouldn't put sort of arbitrary, randomly assigned.
Yeah, it's like your arguments for it are going, yeah, but they're employing very clever marketing tactics to keep you there. Yeah, they are, because they're very good at their job and they're doing what they want.
They're very irresponsible tactics.
It's not their responsibility.
No, but
the thing that you're forgetting
be,
is that the person has chosen
be
to be there
I
as
think,
well.
Yes, but with addiction, are you really choosing to be there? I think there needs to be a responsibility
okay,
for
alcohol's,
the company.
Alcohol's addictive. The way alcohol is marketed is using your wants and needs for that drink. But you're going to outright ban alcohol.
In all
no,
fairness,
that's
though,
what I'm
marketing,
saying. I'm not saying ban
marketing
gambling.
For alcohol is controlled. And so that's sort of a funny...
But the marketing
kind
for gambling
of
is
point.
As well. And actually, where you're talking about it being yeah. marketed is very specifically in a casino.
I'm talking about direct marketing.
And in a casino. And to be fair, I'm sorry to your friend, but they signed up for those emails. They decided to sign up for those emails. And they also walked into that casino. So if you've walked into
it's
a casino,
gambling.
You've already made the decision to walk into a casino. There's...
For me, it's not a casino. For me, the issue is online gambling because it's accessible at any time, any day, 24/7. You then have a direct relationship with the company. And I listened
how
to a documentary
you,
on Radio 4 the other
that,
day. Right? And the of the addicts who had literally, their lives had been destroyed. And I'm not saying they've destroyed their lives because I don't believe they had. I think their lives were destroyed by these companies just targeting the vulnerable. They really, really are.
I'm really lost on this one because I've got like two different opinions.
I agree that's horrible, Lucy. I do completely agree that is a massive shame. But I don't know whether it, you know, marketing for anything is done like that. So you can't, you know.
But you're driving people to commit suicide. The amount of deaths related to
but that's,
gambling.
I think this is why it's, this is why this conversation will go nowhere unless we attack the sort of lower down thing. Is that you believe they are targeting them to commit suicide? Josh does not believe they are targeting. They're targeting them to be a customer of their business. The
but they know full well what that leads to.
They know full well what it can lead to.
Yeah,
they don't. It doesn't. It says
not a definite. There are plenty of people that are capable
dozens
of gambling.
Of gambling related suicides. There are hundreds of thousands of gambling customers. And now I would never open a gambling business. I would never profit off somebody being addicted to something. But the point is that Josh is making, and that I sort of understand as well, is that you can't expect something that doesn't have to act morally.
To act morally.
Want to earn money and people run businesses and you have to work out better ways to do that. Now, the better way to do that would be to educate people to not do these things.
It's like asking...
No, I don't think so. I think I grew up being told don't gamble and I see my close friends and family, predominantly male actually, being told this all their life, not gambling, and then deciding, actually, I will.
Sure, but Lucy,
that's not educating them.
Gambling marketing exists everywhere. You see it. You're not a gambling addict. I'm not a gambling addict. Now, you could say that that's down to privilege, maybe, but I want more money. I would love more money. Yeah. I have been gambling. I went gambling with Charlie Simpson from Busted once. That's my fun anecdote where he lost £500 and I got £250. Goodbye.
I'm not sure how good a comparison this will be, but the thing that comes to my mind is cigarettes and smoking.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And how well regulated that is, how we've not banned it because that's ridiculous and mm-hmm. the tax.
Well, is
it
ridiculous?
Yes, it's completely ridiculous.
Well, let's stick on focus.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know...
There's no marketing.
You can't advertise it. And also, all of the packaging has, like, warning messages and pictures on it. And so why can't you have, like, things like that? Like, if you go on a gambling website, there are, like, the ads on it are, like, for help. Or, like, for support or for information and things like that.
I think that this is a good start, but I think it's more about attacking, and it is literally attacking those who are problematic because they sense when somebody is developing a problem and then they send more and more. The thing is, I heard an anecdote the other day from a friend. There was someone who was really, really... It was a farm worker, really, really good at gambling, earning like 10k extra on top of his salary just mm-hmm. from doing it. And they banned him. When you get too good, they ban you. But when you get too problematic, they literally don't care. They welcome it and they want more and more and more. Mm-hmm. That is not ethical and that needs to be controlled.
All right, so Josh, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
I don't think they should. I think gambling's already set at 18. And I think that when you're 18, you should really be aware of the risks of things. Maybe they should do more to educate, but I don't think they should be doing more to control it.
How do you feel about that, Josh?
Yeah, I think I absolutely still agree with that. Only because I think the control, one, it's just a thing that I'm not comfortable, which is a control as opposed to education. But two, I think more education is definitely needed, and I don't think control would be better in the long run.
All right, so you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the last story of the week. That's Hannah's story.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So this headline is from the Metro. Should
Ooh, yay, a newspaper, I may understand what they write.
Should fireworks be banned? Thousands sign petition to ban fireworks from public sale.
Ooh.
Josh, these are the three things you need to know.
Ooh.
More than 100,000 people have backed a petition to see fireworks banned from public sale. The petition is calling on the government to only allow fireworks to be sold to licensed venues for displays and not to the public. It could now be discussed in Parliament, as any petition that is signed by over 100,000 people can be considered for debate. Current law states that you cannot buy fireworks if you're under 18, and it's against the law for anyone to set off fireworks between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m, except on certain occasions such as bonfire night, which was yesterday from the day we're recording this. The time around bonfire night is also a worrying time for pets and their owners. The RSPCA have also set up their own petition calling for a review into fireworks rules to protect animals from injury and distress. They said, "We've launched a campaign to restrict the private use of fireworks to certain days of the year and reduce the decibel levels. It has so far received more than 300,000 signatures with a target of 500,000. The question is, should we ban the public sale of fireworks?
20 seconds, Josh, go.
I mean, yeah, they should be banned. I can't believe that fireworks are actually sold to the general public. It's kind of a bit perplexing to me. That's me.
I agree. Let's go home.
Oh my God, I so agree.
Yeah. This is so interesting to me because that's the complete opposite. That's like the ultimate nanny state. That to me is the opposite logic to what you
just
spoke
about.
No, not at all. Well, go on then. How so?
Because there's certain things I completely agree where it's not nannying. It's that's a gun. Only a trained professional should be allowed to use it, which I completely agree with. This is a firework. It's a substance that explodes that can do severe damage to someone, and we just sell them to the public, and it doesn't make sense to me at all. Honestly, I mean, yeah. If you have things that you can tell me that educate me, great, but I just don't get fireworks. The fact that you can set them off in your garden, and on it, I have been to people's house, you know, bonfire nights and things around their houses. It's amazing that people haven't killed someone. Like, and I'm sure things have happened, but, you know, last year I was at a bonfire party where they almost set a tree on fire, and like so close. And I just, yeah, guys, I'm a bit perplexed on this one. I've never really understood it.
I wonder if Luke's going to hit us with some stats of actual deaths.
I want to hit you with a picture that we can put on Twitter.
I have got some stats of actual deaths, thank you. Oh, but firstly, great. I'd like to hear Lucy's story. Could you please tell us your story, Lucy? As you were so excited to not let me do my stats and would like to tell your story. Please go and tell your story.
What's your story, Lucy? I'm really...
Yeah, I just want to show you a picture that we will put on our Twitter account.
Let me see.
We woke up to a firework wedged into our car this morning.
That is ridiculous. And your adorable dog is just sat in the car.
Look how annoyed he looks.
Oh my goodness.
No, but that really annoys me.
That's wedged into the wing mirror, isn't it?
People were having it next door to our house. That's on the high street of a small village. Like, how is that allowed?
I really don't... Luke, I can see there's a sheet of stats in front of me. I can see that you've prepared. Can you hit me with something that is pro public sale
of
fireworks?
So the pro public sale of fireworks, I would say
taxable. Okay, the obvious.
Well, firstly, yes, obviously taxable, but that's, you know, capitalism fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing is that I did lots of research on both sides of this. Is that there are 130 million fireworks sold every year, and
that's a lot.
The
of
vast
fireworks.
Majority of those result in perfectly fine, perfectly sort of...
Ah, yes, but what number of those fireworks are big displays by private and professionally licensed companies?
Honestly, I don't know. The Telegraph only had the stat that 130,000 fireworks are sold each year in Britain.
Okay.
Now, that may mean that 130,000 are sold to the public.
Million. It
may,
million. 130
yeah,
million.
130 fireworks. Now, so the thing is that... where was I? Let me find my thing. So the argument for that is, like, don't punish the majority because of the stupidity of some people.
Yes, now, but then, okay, let me just bring it back to guns, yeah. Right? People, some people, very likely, could be okay with a gun without a license.
Well, the majority of people probably could be.
Probably, yeah. Right? That's still, you still wouldn't allow guns in the UK, would you?
Well, yeah, I feel like this is the most problematic episode I've ever done. No, I am for gun control.
Yeah, police with licenses.
I do understand the logic behind
that have been trained.
The people say, like, well, a gun doesn't kill a person, a person does, right?
Yeah.
And so I do understand the logic behind that. Now, that
how have we got to this?
Right. Well, because that's essentially what's happening here is that what's really interesting is fireworks are explosives. I wonder how long it's going to be before, for example, fireworks are used to attack someone. Or could be used in a terrorism.
Don't give them ideas. Like,
no, but genuinely, we are selling.
Hit by a firework.
Selling gunpowder to the public. So obviously, on one level, it is ridiculous. And for example, I found an amazing stat: three sparklers burning together give off the same heat as a blowtorch.
Oh,
which is like,
God.
We see sparklers as these little... Now, I did find that on fireworksforum.org.uk, so I'm not sure how good that can be.
And also, there's no limits on a blowtorch. Like, blowtorches are completely accessible. True.
And also, remember as a kid how much safety prep you were given about sparklers. It was like, wear gloves, don't put it on the ground, put it in, like, the bucket of sand. Like, it was... constant.
I was ready to stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah,
a sparkler's one thing, but in your honest opinion, do you actually think so? Sparklers are
sparklers are not banned.
Sparklers are fine. No, sparklers can stay.
They've not been officially banned, but most fireworks displays have completely banned them.
So from the one being I went at the to, event.
Yeah, wait, really? Sparklers are banned.
Yeah. The one I went
the
to.
The argument
banned.
Is that
I guess
look,
if you don't
nice
have
to...
the safety buckets to put them in, and people are dumping them on the floor. That's
it's just
really
kids
dangerous.
Waving them around. I mean, they're exciting. They wave.
And they're running with a burning substance at the end of a stick.
See, I think the issue here for me, I love putting on like my own fireworks display. I've done that in Brighton. I've done that in my house. Like that to me.
Here's a
house.
List of all the places Luke's done a fireworks display.
And again, I will say that I'm not necessarily pro or against it. I feel like this whole episode, I've just been like, here's the problematic opinion I've had because I've done lots of research.
Let's spit it out, Luke. Sorry. Where are we going with this?
But I think that a lot of the burden in this situation is, to a certain extent, on us and on retailers. Fireworks have become so accessible that we started treating them lightly. Like, I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah, the idea.
Whose responsibility is it, us or the retailers?
Well, both. I think the... you're right. It's not the retailer's responsibility.
Oh,
they're
really?
Just selling us a perfectly legal product, right? And so I think we, when I was a child, we would light... My dad would, like, light something 100 metres away, and we would stay there really far back, and that was fine. That was absolutely fine. Then, fast forward to me being an idiotic 18-year-old, I was firing fireworks at the beach, being a complete dick. And the issue is where you become a dick. And it's like with everything...
No, but
like,
we're all dicks. Like, I think of myself as like quite a smart, responsible person, but I was 16 years old, like out in the woods near our house, setting off fireworks in a completely enclosed area.
Oh my
god, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, but what you were doing there was you were breaking the law, Hannah.
Probably.
Because you were 16 years old and you had fireworks and you were lighting them.
So
that's sort of that's not really under this issue.
No, I
if
mean,
you're breaking the law.
I don't know who bought
that's the
them.
Same thing as fireworks being banned and you just having
well,
some fireworks
well,
that are illegal.
I didn't
fireworks.
Buy them.
All right, just to start this story, you had this to say.
I mean, yeah, they should be banned. I can't believe that fireworks are actually sold to the general public. It's kind of a bit perplexing to me.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, you can let us know what you think.
Still perplexing.
Hopefully it'll be more detailed than yeah. On Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh, will there also be a beautiful picture of Lucy's dog with a firework stuck in the car. All right, so it's time to move on with the show. It is time for the quick fire round. Josh, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson have both been very public in the fallout of their breakup. Whilst people are fine with Ariana writing a song about it, less are fine with Pete's use of it in comedy on Saturday Night Live, presumably because musical lyrics are more subtle. Josh, in your opinion, is this double standards?
I think this is tabloid crap, because from what I've seen, they've both been lovely about each other in the press. So, go away, press.
Josh, Channel 4 have asked 20,000 people about their attitudes to leaving the European Union. Their survey showed that 54% of people would vote to stay in the EU, in contrast to the 48% that voted in the June referendum. Should we have another EU referendum?
No. I just want to leave now. It's too much. It's going on for too long.
Josh, a girl in America has tricked Trump supporters into buying her a new iPhone by pretending her parents kicked her out for supporting Trump and then starting a GoFundMe. Is this morally corrupt?
Yes, but she's still awesome.
And the good news story of the week is that customers empty donut shop's shelves every morning so that the owner can care for his sick wife. Wait, so do they empty them by eating all the donuts?
They go in and pay for them like at 4:30 in the morning and buy them by the box lid so that he can be finished really early so he can go and care for his wife.
Aww. Oh my goodness, that is the greatest news story
very sweet.
Of all time. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh, and thank you, Hannah, for joining us and putting up with our debates.
Thanks for having me.
And also contributing to them too. What are you up to next, Hannah, and where can people find you?
People can find me at Hannah Witten on the socials and on YouTube. And what am I up to?
They can listen to your podcast.
They can listen to Banging Book Club. They can... I'm just like a classic internet person working on a secret project.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tell us what it is.
Nope.
I want the exclusive. Is it a book?
I'm not telling you.
Classic internet person writing a book.
Really do check Hannah out, though, because her content makes ours look terrible because it's so well done and Aww. So brilliant. So, yes, do check Hannah out.
All right. Well, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh. There'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's Quickfire Round. Get your questions into the show. Please subscribe wherever you're listening to this, over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
You ready for the joke of the week, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a pretty big deal. Why did the blind man fall into a well?
Oh,
because he couldn't see that well.
Ah, that's really good. That's your first really good one. I like that a lot.
That's currently your best joke.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks to Reddit for that joke.